We're going to start a new series today called Taming the Money Monster. And you know, if you know me, I've been here now over 5 years now. This is not something I normally speak on. Normally do I like to speak on. But I'll be honest with you, in a moment here as we look at what the problem is today, I have to speak on it. Money is something that really affects all of our lives. There's not a person in here who is not affected by the issue of money. It affects you as individuals. It affects you and your families. It even affects our church. And I know that oftentimes people will say, well, that's all they ever do is talk about money at the church. Well, we're going to talk about money for the next 5 weeks, but we're going to talk about money maybe a little bit different than what you're used to. We're going to look at what the Bible says about money. Because it's probably one of the most important topics. Well, let me just share with you what the problem is today to help you to understand. I'm going to run through a series of things here, and I'm going to tell you what the problem is, and you'll understand why we need to talk about money. So let's look, first of all, what the problem is. First of all, money is the key factor in a couple's decision to divorce. You know that probably if you look at an average household, most of the fights that an average household will have, money will be maybe at the center of it. They will argue about who's spending what or who bought what or and all of that. In fact, just a few weeks ago, just a month ago, the weekend edition of USA Today had a front page. On the front page it says, many marriages today are till debt do us part. Money is a major factor in a couple's decision to divorce. Bottom line, the finances cause stress. Stress helps dissolve marriages. So that's number one issue I want you to see as far as the problem today. And we need to realize it. The other problem is this. Overspending is no different than being a drug addict in its effect. Many financial advisors will say that the effect of somebody in the house spending more money than they need to is the same effect in that household as if there was an alcoholic or a drug addict living there. If you've got someone who can't control their money habits in the household, it has the same effect in that household as if it was an alcoholic or a drug addict. It's that serious. And that's just not something that George made up. That's bottom line, financial advisors are saying that. That's number two. Number three is this. Most families have little or no money in savings. Most families today have little or no money in savings. This is different than 30 years ago. This is different than 20 years ago. Let me, in fact, this is what the national savings rate is. The personal savings rate in America is in the negative figures. So what does that mean? Most Americans are spending more money than they earn. There's no saving going on. As soon as it comes in, it's gone. In fact, as soon as it comes in, it's gone, and you still owe. You still have bills that need to be paid. And again, if we go all the way back to the beginning, do we wonder why then we have marriage problems and family problems where money is the issue? There's another issue there, and that's this. We recognize that it causes all of these issues, its effect on the family is this, but then I want you to notice this one. It's the number one taboo topic in families and churches. You just can't talk about it. Oh no, there he goes again. He's going to preach on money. Can't have the preacher preaching on money because that's all they talk about in the church is money. Taboo topic. Or if you've got a situation where money is a problem in the family, rather than have confrontation, we'll what? We'll not say anything about money. We'll not talk about money. In fact, you know what? Here's the scary thing. families who are marrying, couples who are marrying, more than two-thirds of couples who are marrying, who are deciding to tie the knot, who are deciding to live with each other for the rest of their lives, more than two-thirds of them do not discuss money at all. Isn't that interesting? They're going to live together. They're coming from two different backgrounds. Money is a major factor in their life. And they won't even talk about money, how they're going to handle it, how they're going to deal with it, who's going to pay the bills, what kind of debt load are you bringing into this marriage? See, it's the number one taboo topic in churches and in families. The other thing is this. A major portion of one income goes to paying down debt. The proportion of disposable income going to paying down debt, including mortgage and credit card debt, is near record high in our country. Do you realize that the average person in the United States has about $10,000 worth of credit card debt? Money is a factor. Now you say, okay, now I see the problem. So why do you need to talk about it when I can listen to Dave Ramsey? Or I can listen to Crown Financial Money Market or something. And I'm going to be honest with you, the next 5 weeks, I'm not going to tell you what to do specifically about your money, but what I'm going to do is lay down some principles from the Bible. Because here's the thing. You can listen to the guys, you can read the material, but unless you have a change of heart and mind concerning finances and understand what the Bible says about it, all that stuff isn't going to mean anything. All that stuff won't make a hill of beans. So we're going to talk about it. So what, does the Bible talk about money? John MacArthur says this. He's the pastor of Grace Community Church in Panorama City, California, and he says this. 16 out of 38 of Jesus' parables deal with money. More is said in the New Testament about money than heaven and hell combined. Think about that. When you think about heaven and hell being talked about in the New Testament, money is talked about more than heaven and hell combined. There is five times more said about money than the issue of prayer in the Scripture. Five times more about money than in prayer. There are 500 plus verses on both prayer and faith, but there are over 2,000 verses dealing with money and possessions. Obviously, the Bible has much to say about money and how to handle it. So if you and I are looking at all of these problems, we're looking at the issues that is causing friction in the homes, we're looking at these issues of debt, we're looking at the issues of saving, we're looking at all of these issues, wouldn't it be responsible for us as Christians to look at the primary source for our guiding of our life to tell us how to handle money and what is our responsibility? And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the issue of money. You'll notice there in your sermon outline there in the bulletin, I have a little bit of a diagram there. But before you look at that diagram, if you'll turn to your Bible to Matthew 25, what we're going to look at today is whose money is it anyway? Whose money is it anyway? And you say, why are we going to look at that? Remember, we looked at that first problem. The first problem is that it's number one reason, one of the big reasons, key factors in couples divorcing. Let me give you a typical scenario. You have someone in the home, they're a couple, they've said they're going to be unified and everything's unified together, but one person goes off and they just spend money. They have an argument, they have a fight. And that one person says, well, it's my, what? Money came out of my, what? Paycheck. And so we need to look at that whole issue of whose money is it anyhow? Because it has implications in the home, but it also has implications in your relationship with God. Whose money is it anyhow? And so then, if we were going to look at that diagram there, we're going to look at several key. It's going to be one of five key things we're going to look at. The first thing we're going to look at over the next 5 weeks is the issue of responsibility. Responsibility. So I want you to notice with me this parable. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 19. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look there, you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he who has, he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We could basically break down this passage into 2 sections. First would be the issue of responsibility, and then the unfaithful servant. So let's look, we're going to look at money today and our responsibility with money. So let's learn some things from the Scripture concerning responsibility. The first thing I want you to notice is this. We need to view money in light of eternity.